Very confused look when I yelled here. That's because most of you know one of my favorite songs is When the Roll is Called Up Yonder. And I thought that's what he was playing because the tune is very similar. As the children's church is dismissed, and it looks like they're leaving as we speak. Heard a story the other day about a pilot who got himself in a little bit of trouble. He called the controller and said, "Pilot the tower, I'm 300 miles from the nearest airport, 600 feet above the ground, I'm out of gas, and losing altitude quickly. I'm looking for help." The dispatcher returned and answered him, saying, "Repeat after me, Our Father, which art in heaven." When we find people in trouble, we need to be able to help them. Here we find a pilot who got himself into a very difficult situation. The controller tries to help by having him repeat a prayer. The pilot was in the middle of a crisis. Maybe it would have been better for that controller to pray for him. And praying for him, interceding on his behalf, maybe God would have provided a place for that pilot to put down and land. God's capable of doing that, is he not? Did he create this entire world in 6 days? I think he could probably give him a place to land real quick. 2 weeks ago, we discussed intercessory prayer in a more global way. Praying for the eternal salvation of every soul. Praying for rulers and those in authority. For their blessings, or at least that they would allow us to worship in peace. Do our religion in peace and show God's love to others. Praying for all men, seeking overall revival in this country. Isn't that a great thing? Wouldn't we want to see that? Today, we look at more mundane issues, quote unquote. We must pray for revival, safety, salvation. Those are critical things. But what of the day-to-day issues? What are the day-to-day struggles that every one of us face? Of spiritual uncertainties, of temptations to sin, of strength to do God's will, of financial, personal, medical issues. Do we take time to pray for these things? And if we do, how should we do it? Paul prayed more than any other apostle that we find listed in the Bible. He prayed for churches, and he asked for prayers in every single church he visited. We intercede in prayer to keep focus on God and to unify the body. Today, we're going to look at several intercessory prayers, but we start off looking at one particular one that Paul mentioned to the Thessalonian church. Turn your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. We're going to read from verse 9 to 13 to kind of give a foundation to the other intercessory prayers we talked about. So, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, starting at verse 9. "For what thanks can we render to God again for you? For all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God, night and day, praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Now God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. To the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all the saints." Lord, we are in a fallen world. We are in a world of pain, a world of crisis, a world that has turned its back on you and is reaping the whirlwind as we have sown the wind. Lord, as this body is in this world, we need to show the love of Christ, but it's easy to get discouraged. It's easy to see the problems of this world take over us. It's easy to just lose hope and lose the ability to care for others as we see our own struggles. Lord, let that not happen. Let us learn how to intercede for each other. Let us learn how to pray for each other and put our focus on you, which allows us to pray for each other, which allows this body to be built strong, which allows this body to be unified, which allows this body to withstand anything that Satan can throw against us, as we pray your mighty power in every single problem we have, and that we may see your grace, your love, and your power withstand the very gates of hell that come against this church. And Lord, it is a great thing to be able to come to the throne of grace to pray for another. Let us learn how to do so, Lord, and by doing so, teach others how to pray for us in return, that this church may be even stronger and more unified than it is now. We ask it all in your precious Son's dear name. Amen. When God looked at Cain and asked, "Where is your brother Abel?" God knew where his brother Abel was, and he was challenging Cain. Where is your brother? Cain answered, am I my brother's keeper? Well, if we look at the example of Jesus Christ, if we look at the teachings of the New Testament, if we realize how many times the Bible says one another when dealing with personal issues and how we are to care for one another, if we look at the words that Paul used here, the answer has to be a resounding yes, I am my brother's keeper. Today's verses show Paul was concerned with unity in the body, abounding in love one for another, hearts established in holiness before God. Paul praying constantly that this would happen. Now, do you want Paul's results? Do you want to see the church strengthened in this world today? Do you want to see this church strengthened? Then follow Paul's example. Now, Paul Kranz did a study on the one another's in the Bible. How many times we see the word one another? In the Greek, it's one word. It's all Greek to me. It's pronounced aileilon. It's found 100 times in 94 different verses. 47 times, it was special instructions to disciples of Jesus Christ. In establishing the Gentile church, Paul wrote 60% of these verses that contained this particular word. With such an emphasis of one another, with such repetition in the Bible, do you think maybe he's trying to get something across to us? We truly are a brother's keeper. We need to look out for one another. We need to be caring for one another. And we need to pray for one another because that is the very best thing we can do for one another. Now, every one of us has challenges, weaknesses, difficulties, bad habits. We can easily point out the problems in others. Boy, you guys are all far worse than me. Look how wonderful I am. Easy to do. Why? Because my problems aren't that bad. Your problems are far worse than mine. And every one of us would say the same thing. We justify our own faults and we magnify others. It's easy to do. It's human nature. But do we do that? Or we can bring the power of the Godhead through prayer to overcome these problems. You see a problem with someone else, you go to the throne of grace, you're asking the very power of the Godhead to come and intercede for that person, that they may become closer to Jesus Christ, may become closer to God, may be a better disciple of Jesus Christ. Is that not what we want for every single person in this room? That's what we need to intercede, and that's what we need to pray for. One tears another down, leads to gossip. One builds a member up. Which would produce unity in a church? Interceding or pointing out faults? Now, we are to pray for God's power and salvation and national revival, no question about it. We are also to bear one another's burdens in everyday life, holding it up spiritually, physically, materially, that they may find that God's grace is sufficient for them. Finding God's grace is sufficient for them, they can go forward in joy, they can hold on to the power of God, and they can show others that same joy, that same love. So, we see God's power in intercession in three things here. Inside the church, physical difficulties, spiritual difficulties, and worldly difficulties. And every one of us have problems in every one of those areas. So, let's look at physical difficulties. Physical difficulties deal with problems of the flesh specifically. Now, it's temporary. This body of mine is going to be removed one of these days. I'm going to get my glorified body. So, it's a temporary issue. But it's very important to me today. And it's the same thing with everybody else here. Illnesses, operations, depressions from loss of a focus on Jesus Christ. Also depressions from personal struggles with friends, death in families, family relationships. All these things bear heavily on the body. We prayed for every one of these in this church before. We need to continue. If any part of our body hurts, the entire body hurts. I've used this example many times. If I take a hammer and I hit my little toe with it, that part becomes the most important part of the entire body. And I got to take care of that before the rest of the body can function correctly. How about seemingly lesser things? Let's say an 8-year-old girl has just had her pet goldfish die. Now, we all know the goldfish don't live very long. We know in the light of eternity, it's not a very big deal. It's nothing that we need to worry about at all, and she just needs to learn how to grow with that, right? Well, to that little girl, her life just got turned upside down. It might be a little thing, but to her, it's a lot of pain. Wouldn't it be better to pray that God's grace would carry her through that? Wouldn't that be better for her to see that we care for and pray for her care in that case? Then she can see the power of intercession. She can get over that pain, and then she can trust God in greater things as she grows older. Physical problems also include sinful habits that cause physical issues. It's easy to gossip about others who have weaknesses. Guess what? I have sinful habits, because we all do, because we all have the flesh around us. Don't believe me? Read chapter 7 of Romans, Tom's favorite chapter, and see that Paul had problems. Trust me, if Paul had problems with sin, I have problems with sin. So we all have these deals. Well, we tend to act superior, saying, I don't have that problem. Look how much of a sinner that person is. That's easy to do. But remember, Galatians chapter 3, verses 1 to 3, deals specifically with this issue. Verse 3 telling us, if we think we are something, when we are nothing, we deceive ourselves. And guess what? Standing here today, I am nothing. The only thing I am is a servant of Jesus Christ, doing what I'm required to do, being empowered by Him. If I have anything intelligent to say at all, it's because He empowered me. I have no superiority to everyone else. So if I see someone with a sin, I'm not superior to them. I need to go to God and pray for them, that they may be lifted up. Verse 1 also tells us to restore those taken in a fault in a spirit of meekness, realizing that by lifting them up, they may very well lift me up later. Hear of a problem in another's life, sinful or not? The first thing we need to do, the very first thing we need to do is not gossip about it, not to talk about it, but to go to the throne of grace and pray about it. We do that, we bring the power of the Godhead once again. Then we can see victory to that person who has fallen. And it gives them joy in the fact that they have victory, and it gives us joy in the fact we see prayer answered on behalf of someone else. Now, both of these are seen in the book of James. Turn to James chapter 5, verses 14 to 16. Verses that are very familiar to us. So James chapter 5, starting at verse 14. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with the oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Sins and weaknesses forgiven. That's number one. That's the most important thing that we can have out of that whole section there. Grace to deal with illnesses. Grace to deal with pain. Lifting others up with concern for their burden. Now, they may get healed out of it, but that's not what it promises. It promises the grace to handle whatever situation they're going through. Understanding that grace is sufficient for them. Understanding God's with them. And understanding God will carry them through whatever storm they're going through. The prayers must be effectual. The prayer takes to the throne of grace the exact problem that person is having. And it lays it right on the throne of grace that then God can see how serious we are about it and deal with it. The prayers must be fervent, focused, and believing that God will answer, that God will provide the grace that we need. And they must be righteous, relying on God's grace and power in holiness as you confess your own sins. Seeking and graciously removing specks from others' eyes as you admit the beams in your own, that the entire body can unify, grow in grace together, and become stronger. At the same time, we realize this is a fallen world. As such, tears are a reality. Jesus wept at Lazarus' grave. He knew he was going to raise him up very quickly, but he still wept at Lazarus' grave, showing the pain that he had for a friend of his that had died. We do not demand constant smiles or happiness. Some churches do. That is not what the Bible talks about. David said if he made his bed in hell, God would be with him. That's joy showing how to pray for those in grief. If they're in grief, they're in a seeming hell right here on earth. Romans 12:15 tells us, rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. Praying and weeping is a part of a body, as weeping shows that we are on that person's side. We come next to them and realize that there is a real reason for those tears, and we are with them, and we will pray to God that He will bring them through the storms that they're handling. And then we will rejoice with them when they can once again rejoice. So we see the physical difficulties that we have in this fallen world. Well, every one of us also has spiritual difficulties. Don't believe me? Come to my Sunday school class. We usually get through a sentence a week. It's been said that we are not of the world, but we are in the world. But guess what? We are in the world. In the last section, we talked of sin leading to physical problems. Now let's look at some deep spiritual problems that people may have and challenges that can sap our joy and destroy our testimonies. Jesus is our one mediator between God and man, interceding that God will continue to use us despite our sinful flesh, seeing our joy as sons of God. Now, we should compare ourselves with Jesus. If I compare myself with Jesus, if I'm looking correctly, I find myself very much wanting. Said many times before, if you look in the mirror and you like what you're seeing, you're not looking hard enough. We need to compare ourselves with Jesus Christ, realize how far short we fall, and that allows us then, as he intercedes for us, to intercede for fellow sinners without looking down on them when they fall. Because I've fallen, people don't look down on me, they pray for me. We need to do the same thing for others. If they're having spiritual difficulties, lift them up by prayer. Listen now, Jesus intercedes for us. Long section, turn to John chapter 17, verses 11 to 24. Being a long section, it tells us what Jesus thinks of interceding prayer. So John chapter 17, starting at verse 11. I'm going to start at verse 9. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will testify they also whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. A beautiful prayer, glorifying God as he sanctifies believers, interceding for them, that they may be continued to be used and not lost to the world. If Jesus intercedes for me to be sanctified for his holy use, should I not do the same for others facing spiritual challenges or caught in a spiritual crisis? It shows God's character and love and mercy for others. What we're supposed to do. Agape love, putting others' needs before our own. It helps us focus on God's love and power and not Satan's ability to make others fall. Every one of us has certain weaknesses. Every one of us has triggers. Every one of us has things that will make us fall short of the glory of God. If it happens, our first response should not be to gossip, point fingers at them. Our first response should be to intercede for them, to pray for them, that God's strength will show them the need to ask for forgiveness and bring the power of the Godhead to them. Now, seeing someone face temptations and trials, we need to pray exactly as Jesus prayed. Turn back to Luke chapter 22, verses 31 to 32. So Luke 22, starting at verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and that when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. If Satan is not seeking to sift you as wheat, you are not doing your job. If Satan is not challenging you, it means he doesn't care about you because you're not doing what God wants you to do. If you are acting strong in God, he's going to try to get you, and you need to make sure that you're prayed for by others, and you need to pray for others doing the same thing. We need to pray for each other, especially if you want a church doing God's work, because he will be attacked. We are promised persecution if we follow Jesus Christ. Now, when Peter did fall, he did deny Christ. Jesus came to restore him and did not banish him forever. Should we not have the same care for others? Are we more holy than Jesus? If we see someone fall, we can't banish him forever. We need to lift them up in a spirit of meekness, realizing that we will fall also. Now, to be really serious, fasting may be required. There may be someone in such a spiritual strait, they've lost their way so badly, that we may have to go to the Lord and fast, showing the best example of agape love, denying our own flesh for the purpose of restoring another. That is the highest form of agape love right there, when you deny your own flesh to lift up another person. Spiritual difficulties can also come from a lack of wisdom. Discouraged over not knowing all the answers. Now, James tells us if we ask for wisdom, he will give it. Now, are my sermons useful? Are they biblical? Do they help others? If they are, it's because others have interceded for me. Others have asked the Spirit to enlighten me. Others have told me to get told the Spirit to give me the words to speak. That is how I will be able to give a perfect, not a perfect, but a good sermon. If there's no prayer of intercession, if there's no prayer for myself, I'll just give another worldly opinion, which would be every bit as good as your worldly opinions. Intercession for me is what makes this church strong. We must ask God to lift the body up with his wisdom, by his word, for his purposes and his glory. Satan cannot do anything to a church that is fully unified, praying for each other, with Jesus Christ defending the very these walls from the very gates of hell as he promised to do. So we see physical difficulties. We see spiritual difficulties. Anyone here have any worldly difficulties? Hate to check the mail because you see the bills coming in? Too much month at the end of your money? Once again, we are in this world. We face trials. We face temptations. We face the idea that we can take shortcuts. We face worries over finances, jobs, children, friends attacking, laws against us, and other difficulties. Problems in this world that take our focus off Jesus Christ. Losing our joy, testimony, we become carnal as we let the trials of this world overshadow the spiritual things that we know that we should do. It is right and godly to pray for others' needs in bills, relationships, lawsuits, and all things like this. How do I know this? Don't trust me. Trust Paul once again. He showed us in Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 to 8. Turn there real quick. Once again, very familiar verses. If they're very familiar, maybe he's trying to tell us something. In Philippians 2, starting in verse 1, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in the lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Bowels of mercy it talks about. Bowels of mercy empathizes with their concerns, their needs, shows that we understand that there's a reason that they're going through what they're going through, and we care about that problem. Showing our concern for their needs, showing our consolation and brotherhood, showing our love and fellowship in this time of need. Satan can pick off Christians one by one very, very easily. But a church body, unified by prayer, strengthening each other, and lifting each other up in love under one accord is unbeatable because we are relying on Jesus Christ, not on our own power. And Jesus will defend this church. We esteem each other as better than selves, looking to see each other's needs are met as Christ put our needs in front of his own and went to the cross. Why? To save George Barber and to save every person in here. He looked at my needs, realized I couldn't do anything about it, and he went to the cross for me. Should I not humble myself just a little bit and put another person's cares in front of my own? Should I not humble myself just a little bit and pray for that other person, not just for my needs? Once again, we put others' needs before our own, even before our own. Now, these are needs, not wants. Teaching spiritual responsibility when needed. We are to have wisdom. We are to do things that the Bible tells us to do and teach people. But when we see real needs, we pray for those needs. Because God may have put them there to teach us how to pray and teach us that he has power to give us victory over those needs. But we are to pray for each other, not only pray, but put our spiritual wisdom in practice. Knowing that as we pray, God may use us as the answers to his prayers. Turn back to James real quick. James chapter 2, verses 14 to 18. Now, these are some of Bill's favorite verses, how to put our faith into practice. James chapter 2, starting in verse 14. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and hath not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, I will show thee my faith by my works. Make no mistake, worldly cares are real. We are told every day to ask for our daily bread. Our worldly needs are then given to us, and we see that they're gifts of God given to us for his glory, and we can glorify him by it. Someone else has a problem, and all of a sudden you have an abundance. You're supposed to take your abundance and help that person with that problem. Guess what? They may do the same thing for you next week. Now, you look at the Jerusalem church. They had a serious problem. They were under great persecution. They basically became a social society because they had to. And everyone put the things in to make sure everyone's needs were met, and they were, because God blessed their faith. That's not in the case here yet. It may be in the future. Who knows? But we need to make sure that we look at the cares of others. We make sure that if we have an abundance and they have a need, we take care of that abundance. Take care of that need. And again, need, not want. Whenever we see anyone in a difficult situation, our first instinct should not be, what did they do to get themselves in such a predicament? Easy to do. Leads to gossip. Our first instinct should be to intercede on their behalf, bringing the wisdom of God and the power of God to the problem. If they did something to put themselves in that situation, by praying, God will give us the wisdom to be able to handle that, to take them out of the immediate problem, and then to make sure they don't get into it anymore. That's our job, to see spiritual growth. Once again, if we bring them the wisdom, we'll be able to lift them up when needed, help them see the proper way out with his word, illuminated by his spirit. We all have brilliant ideas of what people do. You don't want my ideas. You want the Spirit's ideas. And we only get that by interceding in prayer. So, we have talked about interceding in very great areas. For our nation, for the world, for revival, for godly leaders. Any leader that will allow us to worship in peace. For eternal salvation of sinners. For God's will, for his glory, as prophecy is fulfilled. Great things at display, God's power, grace, and sovereignty over a sinning world. But we also need to see that power here in the local church. We need to see that power that we may be lifted up by God's power, by God's grace, see that he's still working here, no matter what happens on the outside, and understand that as the time gets closer, persecution is going to get worse. And we need to learn how to pray for each other all that much more that we may be strong and may be glorified, that Jesus may then say when we meet him, well done, good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Now we are to pray without ceasing. To intercede, we must intercede also with our own brethren. Again, for God's glory. That's why he did it, to teach us to have care for one another. Let us not neglect for the seemingly insignificant things in the light of eternity. They are not insignificant to the people going through the trials as we speak. Physical needs sapping attention and joy, illnesses, depressions, deaths, all these things harm our joy here on earth. Spiritual needs, losing focus as we start looking at the carnal instead of the spiritual. Worldly needs, where we start looking at our daily bread instead of focusing on God's great glory. Those things can happen. They happen to every one of us at times. Let us intercede for others as Jesus intercedes for us, bringing extra power to move God for his glory. You know, if I pray for Philippe here, well, that's two of us praying. God's pleased with that. How about if we have 50 people praying for a need Philippe has? That pleases God that much more because that's that many people showing cares for whatever Philippe might be going through at that time. And God will move it. And when God moves that way, it encourages the church to do more. It encourages the church to pray more. And next week, you'll all be praying for me instead of Philippe. And we'll see God's grace once again work. That's how you build a church up. Pointing out each other's sins, that's how you tear a church down. And it's very effective. We'll get down to about 6 very faithful people if we keep doing that. So, don't know how to pray? Let's say someone's going through an issue and we have no idea what to pray for. That means we don't intercede, right? No, it doesn't. If that's the case, we start praying. And we do it for his glory. And Romans 8:26 says, in that case, the Spirit will intercede for us. And as we intercede for someone else, speaking groanings that we can't even utter. We're showing faith in God, and we're showing him, I lack so much wisdom here, I don't even know how to start. But I know there's a need, Lord, and you know what that need is. And in that case, when someone is so far into the swamp, you start praying, and God will give you the words to speak that you can then help that person out. How much more glory can God get than seeing someone go so far away and come back? How much more joy can we have by seeing that person return? Now, make no mistake, this is not to avoid church discipline when needed. It is to intercede and lift a person up before church discipline is needed. It's also not to pray to fulfill people's lusts. We'll talk about that next week. But to pray for God to fulfill people's needs and allow them to see God working through them to provide the good gifts that they need in daily lives. Seeing God's power, taking God's gifts, and then helping others as they saw God working for them. Let us intercede for each other, using the example that Jesus Christ left for us. Let us seek to lift each part of the body wherever and whenever they need it, that the entire body may then be strong. I say, I may have the strongest right arm in the world, but if I don't have a left arm, I can't pick anything up. If I don't have feet, I can't move it. If I don't have a mouth, I can't talk about what I need to do. The whole body needs to be strong. The whole body needs to be cared for. The whole body needs to be lifted up. We need to pray that the entire body will come to pray for the needs of any part. With that, hymn number 475 says, make me a blessing. Right now I'm going to have a quick prayer. As I do, I'd like to have Mo and Lois come up real quick. We do have a problem in the body. The body is sick right now, and it needs to be prayed for. And we'll do that as soon as I'm done. We'll explain the situation. And they need intercessory prayer very badly, as all of us will at times. So I'm going to say a real quick prayer, and then we're going to have intercessory prayer as a church for Mo and Lois. You can sit up here if you want, or whatever you so desire. Dear Heavenly Father,